Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds, episode 404.
404, a numerical palindrome.
Wow! Did you just did you have that on the drive over?
Nope, I just looked at it right now. I'm like, this is. I'm gonna start with this. I'm gonna open with a palindrome joke.
Numerical palindrome, guys. So nerd words and math together. We're really getting really launching hard.
It's also ironically the code for system failure.
Wow, that's true too. Error code 404. Yeah.
So this is our system failure episode, guys.
Yes.
This is the error. This is an error message.
Enjoy it while you can.
Everything's going to crash.
We have a lot of movies to talk about today. We're going to be talking about Hostiles, Molly's Game, a little more Get Out, Phantom Thread, and some great trailers that we're going to be discussing. Oh, my gosh.
And horror movies.
And horror movies, yes.
Mm-hmm. And the trailers are fantastic. There's one movie I'm...
very excited.
The Hurricane Heist is maybe. Well, we'll talk about it, but that's maybe the best title of a movie I've ever heard of in my entire life. Somebody went.
Pretty much it.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Someone just took two great words
and put them
and
together.
Just put them together. Yeah. That's what they did. They just.
There's a marketing computer that got a raise.
Yeah. Just like Mountain Cannibal. You know what I mean? Just two words. just like. Yeah.
You know what? This episode is a first for us, too.
Yeah. Because you're hearing our guest, but guess what? She's not in studio.
She is Skyping.
She's Skyping in.
I'm Skyping in because I'm a flaky fucking bitch, and I totally... You know, your producer was like, I think you're here tomorrow. I was like, what? And I barely made it to Sam Tripoli's podcast. And it was just like, my brain was like, yeah, make sure you check on that. And then I got home. I was like, wait, I don't know where the fuck I put. I don't know how we communicated. Well, there's way too many ways to communicate.
I totally understand. Like, because someone's like, they'll email you on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. Like, was it? The thing that was so funny, though, is when you said that via text, I didn't want to be a dick, but I wanted to just go scroll up. Because all the info was in the text message.
I know, and I like this is like the fourth or fifth time where I've missed something in the past 2 months. It's been like I literally want to take my own hands and choke myself.
How does that?
I don't know if it could work, you know, because the survival, the will to live, is there. But also,
you know,
the
you gotta just try harder.
I know. Yes. I think you need the will to kill yourself should outweigh the will to survive.
You know, sometimes the hands, you know, they have a will of their own.
Yeah, they do.
Anyway,
let's introduce our Skype guest.
Jessamé Peluso, ladies and gentlemen, who is a funny comic that has done a million different things. We did a show last year at the Lab, I think.
Yes.
And it was like,
the one with the? It was like one of those themed shows, wasn't it? Like we had to talk about like something that happened to us.
Yeah.
Hashtag me too. I don't know what we told about the time Louis C.K. jerked off in front of us. What was it?
Yeah, I think that was it. And we were like, this is awesome. And,
there was only one show dedicated to that?
We did it before it came out. So we were like, yay, no one knows this, but we do.
We were ahead of the trend.
It was really cool. And we're like, time is up.
Did you bring like a potted plant as a prop?
Oh, I snorted. It's so early into the podcast. I already snorted.
That's our first snort of the error code message palindrome.
Oh, my God. You guys came in thick with the nerdum, the mathematical palindrome. Very impressive.
So anybody, if you guys are listening, if we go to the YouTube channel, you'll see this crazy setup of the two of us at the ATC and her in an undisclosed bunker location.
You can't know where I am. There's a lot of weed here. There's so much weed here, and you can't know where I am.
You know, it's legal in California, right?
Oh, shit. The coolness factor is out the window.
And I was like, dude, hush, I got weed. Yeah, it's legal.
Yeah, you get a card with your picture
on
it.
You can smoke outside.
Just get a vape pen. You can bring it inside. I don't care. Eat a cookie. So let's... let's get into this. We got a lot
of
movies to talk
about. I want to talk about Hostiles. Now, I saw this movie.
Okay.
And this was, I was really excited to see this movie because I thought, you know, this is the movie that they really positioned to be an Oscar movie. They released it like in limited release in December. It went wide now in January, and they're like, oh, Christian Bale is going to be a spoiler for Best Actor. It's going to be a spoiler for Best Picture. Like, it was really being positioned that way. And I saw the film, and some interesting trivia. It was actually shot in chronological order, which was is not easy for a Western at all.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that the widow of the screenwriter, David Stewart, found the Hostel script when moving house. He had actually died in 1999 and had not shopped the manuscript to any of the studios. So she shopped it and got it to Scott Cooper, who shepherded it to the screen.
You should. Fuck. What do you got hidden? What scripts do you have at your place?
Don't you worry. I got a couple here waiting for a couple motherfuckers to kick the bucket.
As soon as they can die, start shopping.
To kick the bucket.
When Quentin Tarantino.
I got the script to Pulp Fiction too, motherfucker.
Oh! She's got Godfather 4. It's going to be amazing. She's got.
Wow.
I have Rocky 17.
Nice.
What? What? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He
comes back from the dead and fists all the boxers. I don't know what happens. So, I always go straight
like a zombie
for the
Adrian?
Finish,
yeah.
Zombie Adrian?
So.
And he's an AI? Anyway.
Yeah. So this
That's
movie.
That's really cool. She handed it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it got made. So this movie was an interesting movie. It's like I hate to sound like a development executive asshole, but this movie had second act problems. it was one of those weird movies where everything is front loaded. Like at the beginning, you see scenes of really heavy acting and real brutality. Like, so you're like, oh my God, I am in for a ride in this movie. And like the first all the setup was like you're just riveted to the screen. Like Christian Bale is an amazing performance. Rosamund Pike is amazing, and it's just, you know,
well, how's
the beginning,
Wes Studi?
Wes Studi's good, but not a big focus of the film. You know who else isn't in the movie that much? Ben Foster is in about 2 to 3 scenes.
So just that scene.
I love him.
Yeah, he's great. And
he's
the
so
trailer
great.
Makes you think, well, he's like Christian Bale's buddy or something. And then something happens and then he gets tied to a tree or whatever. But
wait a minute. That sounds like the weirdest road movie
ever.
You can't just like brush over somebody being tied to a tree. Like that's a twist in the plot.
What's weird was like it was a twist in the plot. Like in the middle of like the story of you know, this military guy is about to retire. You know, he's a soldier. And
That's Christian Bale's
character. Okay. And he has to escort Wes Studi's character to his home reservation. Not a reservation, but it's like his, quote, land where he was born to bury him because he's dying. And then Christian Bale doesn't want to do it. And then you're like, okay, that's the story. And then halfway through the movie, I'm like, hey, isn't Ben Foster supposed to be in this movie?
And he shows up tied to a tree.
And he literally shows up as like a secondary character. We're like, oh yeah, on your way, can you transport this prisoner? And I'm like, so Ben Foster just shows up, and then they're chaining him to a tree for like literally like 3 scenes that Ben Foster is in, and then that's it. But he was
only available for those days.
Yeah. It really felt like he was the more expensive actor where you could only get him for 3 days. But
that's probably what it was. Like legit, I guarantee it was a scheduling issue, and he was like, look, guys, you know, I'm in between. You know, shoots here. I've got a 3-day break. And they're like, great, tie his ass to a tree. We'll figure it out after post.
I've got Alpha Dog 2 coming up. Yeah.
That's what Ben Foster's doing right now.
Yeah.
The sequel to Alpha Dog. Got it. That makes perfect sense. Alpha Dog 2 reshoots. I mean,
it's really tough. Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, like a girl who puts on a lot of makeup to cover up flaws. And then you take off the makeup when you get home and you're like, oh, damn. There's a lot going on there.
Wow, you look like Ben Foster.
You front-loaded your face.
Yes, exactly.
You look like Ben Foster tied to a tree.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's what I was going for. Is that by Maybelline?
Maybe she's born with it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a scheduling issue.
Maybe she's tied to a tree.
Yeah. So Christian Bale and Ben Foster were in another Western. They were in 310 to Yuma a couple years ago, which is an amazing film. So this movie,
$39 million budget, I'll say.
$39 million budget, and it was it was independent too. Like there, it went into production without a distributor. So there was a financier that financed the movie for $40 million with no distributor. Yeah. So
did the wife of the writer just like, I found a bag of diamonds too, and I'm gonna finance the movie.
That'd be great if that was that was part of the movie's backstory. It's like, yeah, here's a script and a bag of diamonds. Somebody make this movie. Scott Cooper, you're up.
So you not like it? Sound like you didn't really like it.
I did like it. The problem was in the middle of the movie. Like it was a good movie, but the problem was it sets up so beautifully. It's such a great setup because it sets up the animosity and the racism between the white man and the Indians, but it shows you why. Like, Rosamund Pike sees her family get slaughtered in front of her by Indians. If that happens to you, you may not like Indians after that. So
they're not going to be the greatest. Yeah. You're not inviting them for Thanksgiving.
So, and then, you know, Christian Bale's job as a soldier was to slaughter as many Indians as he could.
Which, I don't know, maybe Native Americans might have an issue with that. That might be their side of it.
And, then
everyone's hanging on to a lot of pain in the past. Yeah. We should let go, man.
And they make it a point to say that Christian Bale, the Wes Studi, his character, that they're escorting him and his family, like that he was basically a butcher and a slaughterer of people too. He killed men, women, and children. So what I liked about it is it showed everyone as being horrifyingly, you know, have done horrifying things, but also redemptive, where like every character showed kindness in some scenes and every character had like, you know, this horrific past and did different things. But you know where the movie is going. You know the movie. It's like at some point they're going to reach an understanding that, you know, we're all kind of we've had all these things in our past. We've dealt with them, and now it's time to kind of come together and heal these racial wounds that have been tearing the country apart.
So, has that ever happened yet? We're still waiting for that shit to happen.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
What's ironic is that.
I think we fixed them, right? Everything's good.
We fixed it.
So the first part of the movie, the first act, is pretty much setting up all these characters and the horrific things that they've done and how much they hate each other. The last part of the movie is that that kind of, you know, which you're expecting. This isn't a spoiler. You know, that kind of understanding and coming together. But the middle part of the movie, you never see how or why. And that's the problem with the movie. Like,
yeah, I mean,
like,
you can't just come to an understanding without some sort of, like, huge moment.
Right, actual understanding. And that's what the movie was missing, were those moments in the middle where they actually could figure things out and come together. And
So they were just fine one day? They were like, hey, you keep your teepee. I'll keep my little...
that's
Knuckles, bro. And then
they powered it out.
Yeah, let's forget everything. And, yeah, we'll just finish our journey. Yeah, and that's...
So
that was where the movie kind of fell flat, was in the middle, but it was such an amazing setup, and it was it did come together at the end.
Visually
it looked great, and I'll tell you, I give actors also a lot of credit for being in a Western, because for the whole shoot you pretty much say, all right, you're gonna be either wet, cold, or covered in dirt, you know, because they're always outside crossing a stream. Or, covered in dirt.
And Ben Foster's agent went, nope.
Yep. And then, or tied to a tree. Or both.
3 days, guys.
You guys just described my first sexual experience. I want you to.
Tied to a tree and soaking wet?
I crawled through a stream and then ended up getting tied to the tree anyways.
I still feel dirty no matter what.
So it was really it was a good film. It just had some problems in the middle of it, but it was all great performances. I think Rosamund Pike, but like I said, a lot of the great performances and moments are in the beginning of the film.
Right.
So you don't really get them all the way through. But like the stuff in the beginning is just heart-wrenching. It's so brutal and it's so emotional. And it's interesting that they when I read the trivia that it was shot in chronological order. Like, I feel like, what did everyone get tired where everything's at the beginning?
Yeah. That's when the second act broke down. Yeah, everyone's like, look, I
gave you everything in the first 17 minutes. This is all I have left. But it's a good movie. It is. It had some issues.
But it makes sense to you why it didn't really get any Oscar push, like, or why it didn't get any Oscar traction?
Yes and no. because it should have been replacing another film that's on the
Oscar list.
Okay.
That we'll be talking about later.
Ooh, shots fired.
All right. I know what he's talking about because we've already asked why hint, hint, Phantom Thread is nominated for anything, but I'm not going to.
Yeah,
I don't want to tip my hat too
much.
Yeah,
we'll get into that for sure.
All right. So you saw, since all these movies we're talking about have some type of Oscar implications or whatever. So you saw Get Out.
Ooh, it sounds nefarious.
Oscar implications.
Yeah.
Have you ever been a part of the Communist Party? No. So you saw Get Out, which has received some nominations. What did you think of it in terms of just a movie and then the social relevance of it?
I loved that it kind of was in its own little niche. I feel like he did a really great job of creating his own little lane in this like thriller genre that hasn't really been done yet. And I've talked about it before, but the timing of this movie couldn't have been any better. Like, I don't know if that was planned. You know, he could have been sitting on it and just like, wait, it's like getting into a double dutch. You're like, hold on, wait for the ropes to come around. Now we'll get in.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Get Out, the timing helped Get Out, did not help Detroit.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Right, exactly. The Detroit movie didn't get anything.
City? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, yeah, I just really, you know, you can't go wrong with Catherine Keener. I just love her so much.
No, she was great.
Is that how you say her last name? Is it Keener?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love her acting. And I thought it was really well done. And, like, I like movies when you can't – so many movies now, they give everything away in the trailer. You know, they regurgitate the whole plot, and then you kind of know what's going on. Like, I love that this movie, even when you were watching it, you were like, are they going to turn into zombies, or am I going to feel terrible about all of history? Yeah. Oh, okay. It's both. Yeah, it really surprised me. It's very rare that a movie goes, oh, damn, okay, you got your own lane in the grocery store. Good for you, girl.
Right, that's the thing I loved about it, too, is it just said, we're not going to be this specific. We're going to just do this our way. I want to make a thriller movie like this that has all this social commentary.
And but it was a good movie first.
It's a good movie. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
You have to have a good movie. You have to have a solid script. You have to have. And the other thing, to my knowledge, I don't think he had done much feature directing. He came from the sketch world, and from to come from the sketch world.
Well, no, just even not coming from sketch world, debut feature, Oscar nom.
I mean, that's wild. Where do you go from there?
Yeah,
though?
Yeah.
Oh, is there
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like because usually, like in a career, you build up to that, and then when it's your feature, I mean, mentally, I don't know how you juggle that to your next project because. If it doesn't get nominated, are you just like, I'm quitting? That's fucking it. I peaked at my top, and then I'm just going to plummet to the bottom
it's
now.
Just like,
I don't know.
Fucking Lady Bird, rich suburban white girls. Fuck it, I'm out. Like, no, that's interesting, and I think, well, that is a great question. My, I guess this is just my hope. I have no information to back this up, but I'm hoping that he then... Because he's proved, like, if this is his first time out, just carving his own lane, creating this kind of his own version, his own genre almost.
I hope he makes another horror movie.
Yeah.
Or he could go into each other genre and just find a lane. If he treats movie making the way he treated his sketch show, where they just found what was going on and created their own little space. If he does that with his movie making, I think he'll have a long, long career. I think he'll have a long career regardless, but... He's got a perspective that is so unique and specific that it would be interesting to see that sort of process done along the movie making.
I agree with you, Jessamy. I think that because he's already, even though if he hasn't done a, he hasn't directed a feature drama, so what? He's already proven, like you say, he could do his version of a drama or his version of an action movie that would be like,
And now he's going to be able to.
He's going to get the budgets for sure.
Yeah.
He's going to get money, honey. He's going to be like, hey, can I? Yep, here's 40 mil. Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. Good to go. Go tie Ben Foster to a tree and come back when you're done.
Yes.
Like, do whatever you want.
Go redo Fried Green Tomatoes. Have a great time. Yeah. See you at the Oscars.
Fall in love with a fish man. It doesn't matter. Do whatever you want.
Well, cool. Yeah. I love hearing everybody's I especially love, we've had numerous comedians on the show talk about Get Out. It's great to hear because we all sort of, you know, their sketch show, we've all watched it, and you know, what they were doing on that sketch show was, to me, sketch comedy can get really old and played out really quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know what show you're talking about.
Yeah. But like his show, Kenan, like what he did with that show, I was like, oh, wow, this is really, he's covering the way the two of them covered so much unique ground, to then see him jump like this is awesome. So
right. It is awesome. And I love when a movie finds music or aligns themselves with musicians that really, like the soundtrack is so huge, especially in a thriller. A soundtrack is like a, you know, a third or fourth or fifth actor. And I love that he found some songs and music that really just fit perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's again, and that just shows like what a good director does. They put, they're seeing the whole piece, and every little aspect of it has their hand in it for the right reasons. The music,
yeah.
The way how he cast it, you know,
right.
Catherine Keener, like that's all part of like showing that he is a really amazing director.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
can't
Tarantino
wait to see
style.
His next one. Yeah,
yeah.
All right, so let's talk about.
Game.
I saw Molly's Game.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to see that so bad.
It's worth seeing. It is worth seeing because I was interested in it because I always love true stories, mm-hmm. and it's based on a book, Molly Bloom, and she actually said to Aaron Sorkin that I want Jessica Chastain to play her. So she requests her. Jessica Chastain she's a really fantastic actress.
Mm-hmm. Busy doing The Huntsman 4.
Oh boy!
Oh jeez!
Yeah. Well.
Oh whoa!
Maybe we should talk to her manager about some of those choices. But she's done like, you know,
actual
I'm
movies.
I'm playing the Chuckle Hut in some shit town soon, so you know you got to take the good with the bad.
No, I hear that.
I'm gonna be in Wichita, so everybody's calm down.
Yeah, we can't judge her. There's a strip mall where that has a club that we will be eating horribly fried food in a green room. Jet lagged from two flights, mm-hmm. going, well, let's hope the check clears. Mm. So
for you, it's probably like, oh, mozzarella sticks, the only thing that doesn't have meat.
Oh, God. You know how many times I have had to eat the fucking nachos at a comedy club?
Son of a bitch, and that's your dinner?
That's
and
your
you're
dinner.
And you're just shoving olives in your face? Like, hopefully there's some vitamins and minerals.
Oh, my God. I've done that, where I'm just like, and then I'm like, I go to the bar, and I'm like, well, I'll have olives, because they're, if they have celery for the...
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
oh,
salad. Now I'm getting...
Celery's like, that's fancy.
That's a fancy bar. I play fancy. Yeah. I play fancy shithole comedy clubs. So Molly's Game, it's really... There aren't any... You know, it's a solid movie. There wasn't... It's a little long, but I feel like I'm nitpicking when I say that, because I was pretty engaged watching the entire film.
Well, it's Aaron Sorkin's directorial debut.
And
that's wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't that crazy?
I would assume he's done something before. I don't know why.
But it really, and he wasn't.
You hear his name so much, you're like, oh, he's done him. He's probably directed a million things already.
But the good thing was, it wasn't like Aaron Sorkin-y. You know, he wasn't just like, all right, everybody Sorkin it up. You, Sorkin, you know, just.
Yeah. So talk faster and say more words.
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin-y? I can't even say it. I'm going to accuse somebody of that next time. I don't know, in the grocery store. You're being really Aaron Sorkin-y right now. Back up.
Stop walking and talking about important political stuff. Just slow
Please.
It down.
Just, we're in the produce department. Yeah. Calm down.
One sentence at a time.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We don't need that much information in such a short amount of time.
So
seriously.
And this is and one of the characters in it is Player X, which is played by Michael Senna or whatever.
It says based on Tobey Maguire.
That's the thing. It was interesting. So there's a lot of, and that's the big crux of the movie is she's like, I'm not giving up the names. I'm not giving up the names. And so they do that thing of they jump back and forth in the timeline, you know, like,
which can be tricky. That can be tricky in a film.
If it's not executed correctly, you can have an audience like, what? Or why did you go back? This is dumb.
Yeah.
And you know, they tie it together with Jessica Chastain's voiceover saying, this is what happened here and this is who this person was. And it was really interesting. And, you know, she was a Molly Bloom was an amazing skier, like a downhill skier, was on track to maybe make it to the Olympics and had a bad injury. And Kevin Costner does a really good job of playing the sort of coach dad that's just like, you're going to compete, you know, no matter what. And it's really good. It's really good acting. Idris Elba, man, he plays an amazing defense attorney. He's fantastic. Oof. I mean, he's great. He's a fantastic actor. And everyone in all the casting was really well done, even the like lesser known characters and how the card games were done, the way they shot it. Yeah, I mean, it's
apparently all the extras in the card games were professional poker players.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
That was obvious. It was obvious. Like, I'm not a huge card player, but I've played enough and been around enough that I kind of feel like I understand. Like, I was like, oh, that's a real card player. That's a real card. You know, they were doing real card terms, and people were talking them in real card terms that didn't sound like non-card players trying to sound like, oh,
right.
Wow, you caught that on the river, like Clunky McGee. Mm-hmm. Like, just like, what, you know.
Did William H. Macy come up to the table and go, and just
cooled it down?
Was it very Vegas-y? Like, is it like, do they have like Sinatra on the soundtrack? Like, what is it kind of?
No, it's because it's really about these kind of these big underground, big shot, you know, $20,000 buy-in card game. So it starts out in Hollywood. So they did it that, and then she kind of, it was, you know, the first game was in this sort of back room of this seedy bar, and, you know, her boss is a dick, and she's like, why am I, you know, why don't I just start my own game? So then her idea is to like rent out a big glammed out like $5,000 a night penthouse presidential suite type place at some 5-star hotel. And she's like, top shelf booze, top shelf food, you know. And she goes, I'm hiring all women, hires all these attractive women to be the waitresses and the dealers and all this stuff like that. And, you know, it's all about, she didn't do anything illegal because until she took the rake, which she took a percentage of the pot. So once you take a percentage of the pot, then you're doing it. Then only a casino can legally do that.
Right.
So, that's so shady. That's some shady shit.
Yeah.
This also sounds like the plot to The House with Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler.
That's also based on a true story.
Yeah.
No, but no, it was really interesting because that was, they kind of keep, and that was what was cool about the timeline jumping, in my opinion, was something would happen. And then Idris Elba was her defense attorney, but he was really like, cut the bullshit. Mm-hmm. You were working with the Russian mob. Don't give me this fucking, oh, I don't know. Like, I want names. They're coming after you for RICO. You know, they were trying to make a RICO case, like, oh, like organized crime involvement. And so she kept having to say, well, I didn't, and I never took a percent. And so it was really, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but it's worth watching. There's great performances in it. Aaron Sorkin does a great job. Everyone, all the actors are great. It's based on a true story. That's just like, it's one of those true stories where you go, it's almost like that movie Blow. I mean, he was doing way more illegal stuff, but you're like, wow, when you see someone who's this smart and this on the ball, and you're just like, you just want to tap him on the shoulder and go, don't open that door. That door is going to lead down. You think it's great. It's going to be awful. And,
yep.
And you're like, it's that thing of Molly Bloom could have been successful at anything legally. She's this, that sharp. She's one of those professional athletes are just the most driven people I've
they
ever
are.
Met in my life. You know, male, female, it doesn't matter. They're just like goal, go for it, go for it, go for it. And so they could accomplish anything if they wanted to. So that's sort of the lesson or whatever. But it's a great film. It looks well. It's shot well. It's what's up, Aaron?
Since the Russian mob's involved, is there a John Malkovich bad accent in there?
Yeah. All the time, chick. No, it's
take it down.
Take it all down. He won it. He beat me straight up.
I splashed the fucking pot all I want.
Yeah.
Wow, impression. That's stellar.
He doesn't listen to a cookie. Yeah, I could do Rounders quotes all day long. Yeah.
Highway so time.
It's a decent. It's good. It deserves its nominations. I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
enough.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. Were there any black people in it besides Idris Elba?
That's where it breaks down. That's just like, that's where it's like,
you know, you never think about that, but like sometimes even just like background actors, you're like, this feels a little, feels a little whitewashed right now.
Well, boy, Hollywood, I've talked about that before on this show, but it's a great point to bring up. When there's like an all-white cast, then they will always have black extras to go see.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, right.
Yeah, oh, we sprinkled them in the background. They're back there.
Yeah, they're see?
Yeah.
It's just like, no.
Come on, it's diverse.
It doesn't count.
Yeah. It's always like the romantic comedy. The only black people you ever see are at the wedding. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh. They invited token black friends to their wedding and put them in the movie. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they're like a groomsman or a bridesmaid. They don't say shit.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let me put it this way. The next movie we're going to talk about was set in the 1950s fashion world, so there was nary a black person to be seen.
Right. That's the Hollywood like, well, we can get away with it if we do a period piece.
Because
apparently black
people
didn't exist in the 50s.
Not in London, apparently, in the fashion world.
Yeah, seriously.
So I saw the movie Phantom Thread because I really wanted to see. It's gotten these nominations, Best Picture, and I had to see, like, well, maybe there's something to it. Here's how I went into it. I went, well, maybe it's one of those movies that the trailer doesn't do it justice, and it's the kind of movie that I may not be that interested in. Like, I thought of, like, The King's Speech. Like, when I first heard about the movie, I'm like, I don't know how great this movie's going to be. That doesn't really interest me. A guy just learning how to talk, big deal. And I loved The King's Speech.
Right, because
it
was about taking over the country during World War II, and there was all this pop. Yeah.
Great movie.
Sure.
A guy just learning how to talk. Yeah. Babysit a toddler. I mean, let's move on.
Yeah.
This should be a 10-minute movie. Just sound it out, and we move on.
Phantom Thread, not one of those movies.
Oh
my God. If you like watching people try on clothes for close to 2 hours, you're either a weirdo or you work at The Gap.
Or you're on RuPaul's
Drag Race. Yeah, that's just
Or you're on, you know, Project Runway. Both those shows involve outfits.
This was the most boring, inappropriately aged love story I've ever seen in my life.
That's on the movie poster, right?
And humping each other over clothes.
Like Daniel Day-Lewis, like even in his acting, he actually acts like he's older. Like he literally, like he moves slowly and like weird, like almost decrepitly. I'm like, okay, well, now you're looking like you're in your 60s, and now, you know, your girlfriend is in her 20s. So now it's also, not only is it creepy, he's completely unlikable in this movie.
Whoa, like, he's bashing Daniel Day-Lewis?
I know.
Y'all should have completely a sound alarm.
Yeah.
I will say this.
He's nothing to do with his acting ability. It's the character he was playing, completely unlikable, completely. But you know, Paul Thomas Anderson, I don't know how he did it. He made Daniel Day-Lewis boring. It was unbelievable. Like this was like the height of the scenes was stuff like you know, the girl she's buttering her toast too loudly. And like that's the big conflict scene of like he's like you're buttering your toast. It's too there's too much movement at breakfast. That's like there's like lines like that in the movie, and you're like, and that
there's
at that point I was thinking,
just
yes,
too much.
Yeah, there's lines
there's
like that
a little
in the
too
movie.
Much movement.
Yeah.
I
had a burrito. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah,
it's just like
so at some point I'm thinking, is this
I'm supposed
kind
to drink my juice with a straw so I don't pick up the glass? Like,
I mean, come on. There was a lot of movement in the bed last night. I heard a lot of sounds.
Like it really felt like almost like, well, is this some kind of weird satire or parody that's being missed? And like are we parodying, you know, movies shot in London in the 50s? It's nothing happens through 90% of the film. It's a lot of really boring dialogue. But even like their first date was so weird. Like you see in the trailer,
they go to
like,
a toast store.
Like have that would be great. I like this toaster. Will you buy it for me? Will you have dinner with me? And then she goes, yes. Everything is like overly dramatized.
Yeah.
But then the date progresses. Like he takes her back to, you know, his place, and since he's a dressmaker, he like makes her strip down. And is like, may I measure you? And I'm like, what kind of
God.
Weird?
I'm out the house.
Yeah,
I'm out
exactly.
The house.
Yeah, what kind of
I'm
weird?
I'm texting my friend. Yeah. Like, this motherfucker wants to measure me, bitch. Pick me
yeah.
up.
Yes. It's like it goes, well, now is this some weird Silence of the Lambs date? Like,
yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Now, okay, he's measuring me to eat me. This is what it feels
well,
like.
Well, clearly, that'll be the court. He'll be in like, why did you kill her? The toast was too loud. And so I had to wear skin.
Yeah, yes. The motherfucker killed me because the toast was too loud. They'd have to answer to Joe Paluso.
Yeah. So
the toast was
Too loud. It was a little loud with the toast.
It was honestly one of the most boring movies I've ever seen.
How long was it? Because I feel, I'm going to make a guess. I'm going to guess this movie was way too long.
Way too long. But
like 2 hours.
But it was the kind of movie that it was so boring and bad that it didn't even matter. If this movie was 45 minutes, it would have been too long.
It over 2 hours? Was it like egregiously long? Like
that's
two and
what
a half
it feels
hours?
Like.
It wasn't. It was around 2 hours. It was a 15-minute story.
Yeah.
Yeah, who directed this movie?
This was Paul Thomas Anderson. And this is get nominated, because it's like, oh, you see Daniel Day-Lewis, you see Paul Thomas Anderson. It doesn't matter what it is. Instant
this
nomination.
This is the problem with the Oscars every year.
It took the slot
what?
Hostel should have had.
Right. Hostel should
be in there way more than this. And then I read this weird trivia. Like, director Paul Thomas Anderson got the initial idea for the film when he was sick in bed one day. His wife, Maya Rudolph, was tending to him and gave him a look that made him realize she had not looked at him with such tenderness and love in a long time. Okay. How about this? Go to a marriage counselor. Don't make a movie about it.
Yeah, don't waste my time.
Go to Fiji, motherfucker.
Yeah, but because
go take your wife to Fiji. Yeah, get sexy.
Go to Fiji.
Because now I feel like I went to 2 hours of therapy for you. That's what I felt like.
Well, that's the thing that we talked about this, and I'm glad you saw Hostels too, because it's like now there's two movies, I think, Wind River and Hostels, way more should have gotten nominated.
Wind River was great.
Right?
Right.
Right?
I loved that movie.
And the message it's making, and it's like...
Yeah, and the composition. Like, I love when a film, like, just those wide, beautiful shots.
And people are eating...
And there's a darkness to it.
Yes, and they're eating toast as loud as they want.
Yes, exactly. They can... It's fine.
They're eating toast it's in like, peace. Just...
Yeah. Yeah, there's just the right amount of movement at breakfast. Yeah.
I'm never going to look at toast or celery the same after this shit. God.
I know. I'm just going to be scared to just, like, put marmalade on a gluten-free muffin.
It was ridiculous. I'll never get those 2 hours back. And the fact that it's nominated for awards is solely because of the people behind it, not for the quality of the film.
I'll tell you what.
That's fucked up.
It is fucked up. And that's the thing. This is the problem with the Oscars. Every goddamn year, they never address it. And it's always there's always bullshit like this sneaks in. It's just like it's always English period piece. Accents and gowns, and it just has a bunch of people that have already, rich white people that have already won, and fuck them.
Accents and gowns.
That's all it is. Yes. Oh, I like your gown. Your toast makes me want to butter it.
We talked about it before where...
Can I measure your toast?
Yes. Like, this deserves a nomination wardrobe because it's literally a movie about that category.
Sure. Right. So, exactly. If you just want to play nice with Paul Thomas Anderson, give him the goddamn wardrobe nomination.
Right.
There you go. You get him at the...
Yeah.
I get where it's like, oh, I want big name people in the audience for the TV show because the ratings drop every year. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Get Daniel Day-Lewis. Get P.T. Anderson down there. But don't. Mm-hmm. It's fucking.
That feels cheap. Because like, then they're pushing aside all these other great films. Like, give a young director a shot. Or like, I don't know. Put some color up in there. Shit.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, it's
no doubt.
Yeah, it's for a weekend when I saw those two movies, I'm like, oh well, this took the slot away from Hostels.
Yep.
Easily.
Well, let's talk about this. So now we were talking about Get Out earlier, but Jessamy, your favorite genre is horror movies.
I do love horror. I'm a sucker for it.
What?
I'm a sucker.
What do you like about it, and what are some of your favorite ones?
I love creature features. I love the makeup. I love just the prosthetics are fun. My favorite is The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing. The second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The first one's good too, but I love like.
Are you talking about
tangible.
The original? The 50s version?
The 50s version was good, but I'm all about that like 1980s style,
head
Kurt
walking
Russell.
Off the table kind of thing.
that stuff just gets me. It gets my goat. One of my favorite movies that I saw recently, B creature feature, is called Wolf Cop. Have either of you seen Wolf Cop?
I haven't seen Wolf Cop.
Wolf Cop is just, it epitomizes how you can master doing a lower budget movie, but making it feel full, with great acting.
Did the credits have trauma somewhere in them?
Do they have
trauma?
What?
Trauma, like the ones that did Toxic Avenger, like it was that kind of movie?
I'm not sure. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it were, honestly, because of the style. And, like, it's exactly what it is. It's a cop that turns into a wolf. And it's super ridiculous, but it's so fun. Like, horror movies should be – they should either master the terror, the sense of terror, or they should be super fun, like Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That's
that
a great
movie. That movie was really fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if you can blend that horror comedy genre, if that recipe's right, it's the best.
Mm-hmm. What was your first sort of horror experience as a kid that made you go, oh, man, I love this?
Probably walking into my stepdad going down on my mom, but I didn't love it. And I was like, I need to watch something that scares
that
me
called...
just as much, but I know it's fake.
Was that called It Follows? Is that...
Now, was he measuring her, or how did that work?
No, it was Rose Harry's baby.
Yeah. That the answer to that question is, oh, that's why you're a comic.
Yeah.
It's always something like that. Like, oh, I got it. Okay, that makes sense.
And he got mad at me. I'm like, you're here, Steve, and my dad's not. Like, fucking calm down, buddy.
Easy, Steve.
Steve.
Yeah.
No, but my dad used
to. Now, where's my birthday money?
All the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So your dad turned you on?
Yeah, he loved them. He would laugh at them like Child's Play. He loved that whole idea of a doll being this thing that just sets terror and kills people.
Mm-hmm.
Just this little teeny doll. And then my mom had Cabbage Patch dolls in my bedroom. I'm like, what are you trying to do, bitch? Shit is too real. Lock your door and burn these dolls. Like, how am I gonna? You're gonna pay for therapy one day.
Where did you grow up?
Syracuse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, upstate New York. Can you hear it? I have a little Syracuse accent
sometimes. Yeah, I was like, where is that from? I was trying to figure
it's like Midwest. It sounds like, you know, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks I'm from, you know, North Dakota or Wisconsin.
Yeah, or Minnesota maybe. Or
Cheese hats.
Yeah. Or maybe Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, right by the border of Canada.
Michigan, yeah. Upper Michigan. Yeah, but I grew up on horror movies, man. That was my jam. I watch them all the time, like way too many of them.
I'm sorry.
I love them.
My laptop.
I love all the Netflix series.
Oh, what's...
Did you watch Stranger Things?
Oh, yeah. Plowed right through that. There's a really good one. I think it's a German one called Dark, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of about like time travel and how you can sort of readjust what happens in life, and there's all these like weird things that happen. It's kind of hard reading horror and thriller, but you know, because there's a little bit of a delay,
right?
Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's a dope series.
All right.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Well,
on.
We've got some sponsors.
Oh well, now.
We do.
Oh shit.
We have a short film sponsor this week. And this is a short film called Big Thing. Starring none other than Graham Elwood and Paul Goebel.
If you want to see me in a tracksuit and a mullet, this is the film for you, everybody.
And I watched the entire thing.
We shot this years ago in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, it was some of the most fun.
Are you being serious?
I'm being dead serious.
This is it. Yeah, sometimes going for your dreams hurts a little is the log line.
Oh, that's a great log line.
And the concept is two redneck friends join forces to pursue their dream of making it big in pro wrestling. Golden Graham, the mullet-headed manager, tries to push Paul, a.k.a. Big Thing, into the wrestling spotlight.
Look at him dying right now. You're dying.
I'm thinking of the whole 2 weeks I was in Orlando. It was so – I had so much fun.
I'm sure you did.
And it's two filmmaking brothers. It's Mark Morrison
and Red Morrison. Yeah, so...
And have they done other... What other things have they worked on?
Do we know them from anything? I actually met these guys we were in Chicago.
They did the trailer for Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Yes.
Nice!
These guys are hilarious, and they did this thing... They did this Star Trek documentary about Star Trek fans, like actual ones. Well, me and Paul Goebel are big Star Trek fans. Like, Paul is even more so than I. And they had met us through, we were doing comedy shows in Chicago. This is a million years ago. And they said, we shot these interviews with all of these actual, like, Trekkies, like, hardcore Trekkies, people at conventions. And he said, we just, you know, they're nerdy. They're interesting, but they're kind of nerdy. Can you guys sort of come in and spice it up? And we are huge Trekkies. So we're like, you got it. So... We're in this movie called Damn It, Jim, I'm a Documentary, and where you can see us in our 20s. It's hilarious. And so then they were from Florida originally, and they had moved back there or something. And then Paul and I had moved to Los Angeles, and then they're like, "So you got to do this movie about," and they got actual like wrestlers, and it was so much fun. And it's like, yeah, we did this movie, I don't know, 15 years ago or something like mm-hmm. that. So now they finally, it's for sale. So they have a yes. website.
Holy
it's
on, shit.
Yeah.
It's on
Isn't
Amazon
that crazy? You don't
Vimeo.
Even know how treacherous that process is.
So now the website is, I'm going to have to spell it for you. It's markmorrison.wixsite.com,
no,
but
it's a
Q.
No.
Oh, it's not.
That's not,
no.
That's not the website.
Nobody go there. Everybody stop typing right now.
That's not the website.
You got to Waze it? Are you putting into
no,
Waze right now?
Oh, no, maybe you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's what you texted me.
Is that what I texted
yes.
you?
Yes.
All right, I'm a jackass. I'm a complete jackass. Well, no, it's FloridaBushLeagueWrestling.com.
FloridaBushLeagueWrestling.com?
Yeah.
Florida Bush League sounds like a softball team.
Yeah, that's...
And where does it come up, the URL?
The URL comes up his, like, but that's not, it's his Mark Morrison site, but that's not the one you want, though. You want this one that he texted me. FloridaBushLeagueWrestling.com, because that's the name
guys.
Of the movie. That'll be less confusing.
Okay. And you can get to it to Amazon and Vimeo from there to purchase it?
Yeah. So if you go to awesome. FloridaBushLeagueWrestling.com, you'll see the links to, or you could go to Amazon if you wanted to, but you can buy it, you can rent it, and...
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. I grew my hair
that's
out.
That's a long short film. It's like 50 minutes long.
It's a blast.
You get your money's worth.
It's so, and we, so much of it was kind of scripted, but they sort of just did this thing of like, this scene, we need this to happen. And so Paul and I, because we met in a sketch comedy group in college. So we just,
oh wow.
So we just would riff these things, and half of the time it was like not laughing. It was trying not to laugh. Like we would say these things and we tried to do it really seriously and earnestly because I viewed it like, it's like Bowfinger, you know, the characters in Bowfinger, they're hilarious, but the characters really are like, this is big deal to me. This is important. And I'm going to make it in this crazy, weird thing. So that's what we're like, we're trying to be wrestlers. And like, it's sort of like, you've met people like this.
Yeah.
You're like, and you want to sit them down and go, you know, this isn't going to work, right? Like,
yeah. I know,
yeah,
backyard
is,
wrestling's
it's
a thing.
It's, you guys need to do something else. Like, he's,
you got
to
get a job, Chipotle.
Yeah,
Chipotle.
Yeah, yeah. There you go, Chipotle or
yeah.
driving, delivering
yeah, you
food.
Can,
or,
you can put E. coli yeah. in the burritos.
Yes, yes. but yeah, it's a blast. So go to FloridaBushLeagueWrestling.com.
So, and also
that's
we have
so
some,
exciting.
Thank you. I hope you get to watch it and tell me what you think.
Hell yeah,
so,
I will.
And we have some Patreon sponsors this this month. This is FrightfullyUninformed.com, a podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out horror movie fandom. They emailed us and said that we've actually driven a lot of traffic to their podcast.
Oh, excellent.
So
there you
that's
go, guys.
Awesome.
And that's yep. what you get at the $50 level. You'll get that's a great, inexpensive way to promote your business. We'll drive traffic to your site.
Yep. And also we have a book from Johnny Ruhlein called Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's available on Amazon in both digital and hard copy. It is an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. That's facebook.com/happyhorrorshowproductions. And we actually have a new $50 level sponsor
Ooh.
Right now. Now this
Ooh.
this one is exciting because it's also a nonprofit for at-risk kids.
Oh.
So it's also a really good it's a really good cause. It's called the Audacity Performing Arts Project, and it brings school performing arts programs to public schools. And its primary goal is to serve schools who cannot afford those services. Audacity relies on community donations to keep the programs live. Now, CFN fans who support Audacity with a $25, normally $30 donation will receive an Audacity t-shirt.
Oh, unique URL for the CFN
yes,
fans.
You guys get one. For that's going all out when you're doing a Patreon ad and you create a unique URL.
I love these people. And you're supporting at-risk youth?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this could have helped Jessamay years ago.
Yeah,
yes, it could have. When my mother had, you know, Cabbage Patch dolls sleeping with me.
If somebody would have paid that $25 and gotten a t-shirt, things would be different.
Things would be different.
I wouldn't be on this podcast.
Nope.
So go to So go to cfn.audacityperformingarts.org to learn more. That's cfn.audacityperformingarts.org to learn more.
Awesome, guys. Look at that. What a great way to support the show and get your businesses out there.
Now,
so support kids, read a book, learn about horror podcasts, and watch me in a mullet. You guys got some homework this week?
That's right. Yeah, you got a lot of fun stuff to do.
That's and that's wide and varied homework
Varied.
So let's talk about some trailers that we saw. Oh my God, with the Hurricane Heist, I could not stop laughing through this entire trailer. Somebody went, we got to match a hurricane with a heist movie.
And take a guess which Scorpion song is in the trailer. Like, literally, is it rock me like a hurricane? Yeah.
Oh, God.
I pictured that meeting of the producers going, we got to get that Scorpion song. Get the Scorpions on the phone. I'm like,
honestly, I think it was the reverse. I think somebody went, hey, you know, I got the rights to the Scorpion song. Let's make a movie. That's
what are we going to name it?
I don't know. Hurricane Heist?
Hurricane Heist. Yeah, we'll fucking figure out the rest. Yeah.
Yeah. Tidal wave arrest? What do we want to call it?
Tidal wave arrest.
Just like tsunami crime? What do we call this? What do we call it?
So, oh my God, Hurricane Heist, the most creative and although the most descriptive title of the film.
It's right. It's a half notch below Sharknado.
Yeah.
You know what
really
I mean?
It is. It sounds like a stripper's move.
It really
It sounds like, come to the stage, Dynasty, she's going to close it out with a Hurricane Heist.
Where she like, yeah, she picks up everybody's money for...
Just one leg and kicks all the money out of their hands and
creates
it
a little
right
tornado.
Her badge hole.
Yeah.
Into the eye of the hurricane. That's her badge hole.
And they play, rock me like a hurricane.
And it's like...
So
the dancers work for tips and tips alone.
Oh my god!
Sorry, I've never been to one.
So it really felt like it's like, well, this is a parody trailer. This can't be a real trailer. And like, it's real, and you got to take it very seriously.
I think it's Byron Allen's company. Yeah. So,
and it's also Rob Cohen who's directed these types of crazy action vapid movies. That are completely empty. So they're in good hands.
I don't know that this is empty. I think this is going to be a heartfelt.
No, it feels very full.
A lot of poignant hurricane moments that are going to happen.
There's
going to
be
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, character arcs, people falling in love over loud toasting. I mean, I think it's going to be great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Helen Hunt's driving a Ford F-150.
I brought you tea, but now there's an interruption. Okay, bring it out. But I brought you tea. Yes, bring out the tea. I'm bringing out the tea. Okay, yes, but the you're bringing out the tea, but the interruption is still here. Like, it's literally dialogue like that where I'm laughing in my seat.
It's all exposition.
Like, yeah.
I want to see Hurricane Heist. The more you talk about Phantom Thread, the more I want to see Hurricane Heist.
Yes. Phantom Thread sounds like the sequel to Hurricane Heist.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It would be like a great Phantom Thread, you know? Like, that would be, I would like that.
So, next movie is Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. And I'm watching this trailer just thinking, this is a movie for everyone who isn't us.
Like us as in you two, or am I involved in that?
I think it might be you as well.
Are you a big Mamma Mia fan?
I don't even know what is...
No, so this isn't for you.
So we were correct.
Yeah, we were correct. This is not for you at all.
Okay.
This is...
And, I'm like, I love my mom, but despite everything, she's a great person.
Now there's a sequel. At this point, we have to be out of ABBA songs by now.
No. My dad used to pick me up in high school, and he would blast ABBA.
Really?
Blast it. And he thought, for some reason, he thought that I loved him. And so he won a CD, an ABBA CD, and he gave it to me. Like, he just gave me the answer to life itself.
Wow.
And I still have it. I still have an ABBA CD, and we're going to give it away at the end of the podcast.
Does it have Dancing Queen on it?
You bet your ass it does.
Every ABBA CD has Dancing Queen on it.
That's all it is. It's just 17 Dancing Queens.
Opens and closes with it.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So on DVD and Blu-ray, Boo 2 and Madea Halloween, these movies keep making money. Tyler Perry is going to continue to make them.
We say this every time, but it's always worth repeating. That guy just said, I'm going to make movies for a section of the society that is not represented. I don't give a shit what Hollywood says. And oh, look, they're going to be successful. No one can stop me.
Every one of his movies makes money.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him.
And you know what? Good for him, because it's like, there needs to be more movies like that, because then that creates more movies that will get into the Oscar noms, mm-hmm. that are worth it, instead of, you know, movies, what was it, The Heist, that didn't get there, or the
Phantom Thread.
What was the other? Yeah.
Hostels.
Oh, Hostels.
Exactly,
Hostels. Yeah.
Right,
right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which
you
was technically an independent movie, even though it was $40 million. It was privately financed.
That's wild. That's wild, the thing that makes it independent, and there's that huge finance behind it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's insane. But I always love seeing this happen, that like Tyler Perry just created his own studio. He's like, I don't want to live in Hollywood. I want to live in Atlanta, so I'm going to build it here. Yeah. I mean, like, I think it's...
I'd like to see more independent studios like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
That's more fun. I mean, even though those movies are kind of like the candy of cinema, it's still fun and... You know, he's getting people work, and he's putting a ripple into the movie industry.
Yeah, which is great.
And the next movie is Last Flag Flying. This was the Richard Linklater movie that had, I think it was Lawrence Fishburne, Steve Carell, and Bryan Cranston in it, and it looked fantastic.
Yeah, I missed this.
It came and went. It didn't last very long.
I thought they were going to put more of a push behind it to try to get Oscar nominations.
Yeah. No, it just. Yeah, so I haven't seen it yet. I'm still anxious to see it. I want to see it. The next one you saw was Professor Marston and the Wonder Women.
Again, really good.
Also, no nominations.
No nominations, and it was a really. I think it was just too small, too low budget. They didn't have any money to make the Oscar push. But it's worth watching. It's about the guy that actually created the Wonder Woman comics, and how the early ones were. He was married to one woman, and then another woman joined their relationship, and so it was really like taboo back then. And
was she Wonder Woman?
The Wonder Woman character was kind of based on her and his wife.
Wow, that's badass.
It was really, it's an amazing film, and you watch it and you go, God, I didn't know Wonder Woman was talking about all this like sexuality and strong women. And I mean, obviously he's talking about strong women, but the way he did it in the early ones in the 30s, it was like, it's really worth watching.
What's it called again?
Professor Marston and the Wonder Women.
Wow. That's a mouthful.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of business. That might have hurt.
It's a lot. It's very verbose.
So, and we want to mention this, the YouTube channel. We are almost at 1,000 subscribers.
Yes, come on.
We're literally, I think, something like 74 away. It's like some crazy small number. So you guys can definitely get us there. Keep subscribing. Keep watching the videos. Keep liking. And we're like literally, I think, 75 more, and we're there.
And it's helping grow the channel. So when we grow the YouTube channel, then there's more stuff we can put on it, more content and stuff for you guys, more movies, funny. We want to start doing other stuff on the video. So
yes. And then premiering.
I want you to reenact a scene from your movie. Grow your hair out. Let's get a wig.
All right, I'm in. Get a jumpsuit.
Yeah, and your fans should watch it, and then they can request the scene they want, and I want to see that shit.
Yes.
And then we can rate it. We can rate
it. Yes. And if you guys go to the Patreon and give $5,000, I'll come to your house in a mullet. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
Bring Paul Goebel with you.
Yeah, we'll wrestle in your backyard. It'll be fantastic.
That's great.
That is worth it.
Totally worth it.
That's totally worth it. That's worth $50 for sure. Yeah.
And premiering this week, only one movie, Winchester. So this is the horror movie based on the Winchester Mystery House.
Yes! I can't wait to see it. Helen Mirren?
Yes.
Have you been to the Winchester Mystery House?
No. See, that's where I draw the line.
You won't actually go in?
Like, I'm not going in the Amityville house. I'm not going into the hotel they have here in L.A. I'm not going into any of that shit. I just want to watch it from my safety of my bed. And I can just imagine it as fake. But, yeah, that's crazy that that's based on a true story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can tour the house. It's insane. It's the weirdest thing about it is that, you know, you think it's going to be like this desolate road you have to drive up to actually get to it. And like, no, the Winchester Mystery House is like in a strip mall. Like they literally built
Shut up.
They literally built around it. So But even so, once you get in, it's so creepy inside. You're like, I feel like I'm 100 miles away from any other person.
I love Hale and Mirren, too, playing.
And then you get it back out. No, there's a subway next to it.
Which is just as creepy. You're like, yes, I'm going to get hepatitis C.
Oh, my God. I'm eating a yoga mat.
Yeah.
I have a sudden urge to do Downward Dog.
I think that's our episode.
That is our
episode.
How about
it?
Look at that. Look
it's
at
fun.
That.
We made it happen.
We Woo! Did. We did. First ever Skype episode. So, Jessamay, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you online? Tour dates?
They can find me at jessamay.com on Twitter. I'm Queefy May. they can listen to me every week on my Sharp Tongue podcast.
Oh, right on. What is that podcast about?
It's just about comedy. Sometimes I play heckler clips. Sometimes I play clips for my dad because he's done stand-up with me a few times. I'll play my stand-up, and I'll just talk about the road and things I experience. Sometimes I'll interview people. It's been a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, if you ever need
Sometimes I'll talk about bleaching my butthole.
Nice.
So,
it's a diary. It's a personal diary.
Again, wide and varied.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, 100%.
Well, if you ever need a guest, I think we live in the same part of town. I don't live up
here. Well, yeah, definitely. Totally. You know what we should do? You know what I like to do? Is movie companion episodes with, like, a horror movie. We should watch a horror movie.
I'll do that.
Maybe we could watch Wolf Cop, and you can watch Wolf Cop, you experience it for the first time.
I would totally do that.
That would be great.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show, guys. This Friday, February 2nd, I will be at O'Toole's in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, shit. Good for you.
Aloha. On out. I have the week off from the FNX show. And then, of course, starting February 11th.
Because of the Super Bowl.
Because of the Super Bowl. We're back. We have 9 more episodes to shoot of the FNX comedy experience out in San Bernardino. February 11th, Nikki Glaser is coming out.
And I will say, I just went to see one. It was great. It was big fun. Got to see Craig Shoemaker, who I haven't seen in years. So I even got to reconnect with him. Neil and I went out, and it's worth the drive. It's really fun.
It's a big fancy theater, everybody. Mm-hmm. And, come on out. So,
that sounds fun.
Thank you.
Great comics, too. Really good comics.
Yeah, we got, we're supporting Native American comics and World Indigenous People comics and also just big name comics coming out.
Well, it was a good mix. It was like a good mix of new up-and-comers and seasoned pros. So yeah. it was a good show.
Native American ones. Are you tying anybody to a tree?
No, Ben Foster is on stage for the entire show. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he gets rained on.
Ben Foster comes out and does 3 minutes of comedy, and then you tie him to the stand-up mic. He's just tied up to the mic.
Guys, go to grahamelwood.com for all the links to all those tour dates and like and subscribe to everything. Thank you so much to Aaron Brungard on the ones and twos here at the ATC World Headquarters. Thank you again, Jessamay. You're the best. Thanks for making this all.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked. I'm glad we did.
It was fun. And now you guys know you can do this. You got to get all these people from different countries to Skype in.
Yes. Will Anderson, are you listening?
Yes.
In Australia. We're getting
he's
Will Anderson.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. My name is Graham Melwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.